We're still holding the Chilukah Halacha of the Maral. The Maral's going to the Hilchos Chanukah.
This feels weird on the top.
And the section we're learning now is about lighting on time. We just look at Chilu on this B'diavad. Minhag Yerushalayim is to light by Shkia. That's why I'm just, that's lachatchila. That's as early as possible. The Gemara says, you light from the beginning of the night, ad the kai rego minashuk. They've been with Farsim, the Mneis, where the Bnei Rishus are Rabin. So you can only light at a time when there are Bnei Rishus Aram. If you're lighting outside, so you're lighting for the Bnei Rishus Aram, you're not lighting for the Bnei Abais. But if there's no Bnei Rishus Aram, so then there's no Kiyum Mitzvah. The Maral takes it very seriously. So there was a time when the people walked around. And then there was Tamudai. The Bnei Tamudai, Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos, they were wood gatherers. They used to gather wood here and there. You ever needed some wood, you went over to the Tamudai's house. They always had wood. Wood gatherers. And they were like the last ones around. And after that, you can't light anymore. So the Maral says, you see that the Hadgasha is on the Tchilas HaLayla. Layla's 12 hours. But you can't light during those entire 12 hours. You can only light in the beginning, when people are around. By the time when people go home and go back to their houses and they go to sleep, you can't light anymore. Bismaneinu. There was a shinai in the Eifan Adlaka. At the time when it was a shasakana, It was very dangerous to light outside. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah to bring down the B'shas HaSakana at the time when it's dangerous to light. Manicha al Shulchan Avidaye. Put it on your table and that's sufficient. So it was a tzchufa that they didn't light it outside. They certainly didn't light it in the window. They put it on the table because the table is where you eat, and everyone knows that the most popular room in the house is the dining room. That's where you eat, that's where the food is. So put it near the food, put it on the table. That's in the time of the Ramah brought down. Bismaneinu. The Pesach will talk about it. It's not really the same Sakana. In those days there was a religion. They worshipped fire. And right around the same time that we worship, we celebrate Hanukkah. They had the Avodah Zarah holiday. The Avodah Zarah holiday was they worshipped fire, and the only place you could have fire was in the base of Avodah Zarah. Any other place, you went to light that fire. And coincidentally, it came out around Hanukkah when all the Jews have fires in the houses. Pumped on Hanukkah. That's when they make the gzeira that you can't have any fires in your houses. You can only have a fire in the base of Avodah Zarah. And they'd go around from house to house. If they'd see a public display of light there, it was a sakana. So it's not daich, you know, the mitzvah of Chanukah is not daich pikuach nefesh. So you light it in the house. And it's interesting because the sakana, it's not just Sakana ain't of Armin Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh. So it makes sense that you light it in the house. It makes sense that you don't light it outside. It's a Talas Nefashis. Don't light it. And you shouldn't light it at all. That makes sense. But to light it in the house means that you're changing the mitzvah. It's more, you know, not to do the mitzvah at all makes more sense. Something puts. There's a sakana and doing a mitzvah. Don't do the mitzvah. But this is more than that. There's a natural shina in the tzuras ha-mitzvah. Because the ikar pirsum ha-nisus for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim And if you do it, light it on the table with the windows, you know, closed, you know, like the times of the Inquisitions, the Muranos, or Anusim. Anusim is a more respectful term. Muranos is an insult. The Anusim, they would go into a closet to light Shabbos candles, Shabbos light. Because then they light it in the closet. Because it was pashut the kuach nefesh to be seen lighting Shabbos licht, and ad hayayim, there's Latin American gerim from South America, Mexico, the megayim, because they're gayim, their parents are gayim, their mothers are gayim straight up, but they have this like mesira. It's very common. They have some mesira. That they in the family say in the family there's like an old custom which nobody knows where it came from. That on Friday they go into a closet and light a candle. No one knows what it is. And the Christians, Catholics, they're Magaya. So Hanukkah became like that. It's mamas like the Inquisition. Hanukkah became like that. It's a sakana. And now the Pesumei Nisa is not for the Bnei Rishis HaRabim anymore. It's for the Bnei Abayis. So there's a shini in the mitzvah. And the Pesukim talk about it, that the Sakana is no longer there anymore. But it's a Sakana to light a Hanukkah menorah, Yishalayim HaKadosh? Certainly not. Is there a Sakana to light a Hanukkah menorah in Miami Beach?
Last year somebody wrote Hamas and swastikas and eggs on somebody's car.
Right, so the car is in danger from eggs.
They also spray painted the shul.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. They spray painted the shul, they put swastikas on, they egg the thing. But there's no one going to people's houses and bringing people to the sakana. And on the one hand, but the mice, they changed. There's a shini in etzem tzuras mitzvah. The Rishayim paskind. That the Pesukim and Nisa is not for the Bnei Rishis HaRabim anymore. And who's going to change their back? So on the one hand, you know, once the mitzvah was changed, so it was changed. On the other hand, the real mitzvah is to be mefasim and to Bnei Rishis HaRabim. There's a temporary situation, which is a sakana. As soon as the temporary situation goes away, so it should revert back to be mefasim and Rishis HaRabim. And that's what you'll find in Eretz Yisrael. There's this well primarily the Talmidim of the Briskerov. The Briskers, they light outside Meisharim, they light outside Minig Yishalayim, is that they light by the entranceway of the courtyard, or even of the lobby. That's the Minig Yishalayim. To light outside. The Chassidish Rebbe's, they light inside. Bells, they light inside. In America, everyone lights inside. The only ones that light outside are people that came back from Eretz Yisrael, and they bought the box, the special box, that they brought it back with them, and they light outside in America. But they took the Eretz Yisrael back with them. So there's a machlekes pashut. It's a big machlekes paiskim. Whether it still has a din of shasa sakana. The paiskim discusses the Aruch HaShulchan and the ones from the last couple hundred years. They say there's no sakana. And in America they light in the window. Mm. Not outside. They light in the windows. They don't light in a broom closet. So it's nishtahin and nishtahar. They should really be lighting by the Pesach HaKotzer. Why are they lighting the window? They should light mamash by the side. You know, if you have a tzuris of Pesach, people that have a front yard with a, not like Silly's house, so he doesn't have this, but you have a front yard with a fence around it, they should be lighting by the Pesach HaKotzer. Why are you lighting your window for? Because people don't, it's like a pshara, you know, they're not lighting inside, they're not lighting outside. They're lighting inside, but by the window. So the Pesach will talk about it, that there's something which it's Shasa Sakana, it's not Shasa Sakana. It's not a Sakana to the people. It's a Sakana to the Menorah. Because even though we're no longer living at a time or in a place where it's dangerous for the people that light it, Chas v'Shalom. But there's vandalism, and there's Geneva, and there's a lot of sinna. And every one of us knows, every one of us grew up in Western culture, we all grew up in America, every single one of us knows what's going to happen if you light a menorah by the Pesach HaSamach L'Chatzar. By right by Rosh Hashanah, even in Brooklyn, even in Brooklyn, everyone knows what's going to happen to that menorah. I mean, if it's worth anything, forget about it. As there's a big sign in Brooklyn, forget about it. You heard what you said?
Yeah, they
put that sign up because
when you're leaving Brooklyn.
When you're leaving,
yeah.
They put that sign to make sure you know that your menorah is going to be gone when you get back. That's a menorah. Forget about it. You're driving, you even though...
There's one word on the sign.
Right, forget about it.
Rabbi's Pesha also, it's Pesha and Sinna, meaning even if it doesn't get vandalized or stolen or whatever, people would just laugh at it.
No, laughing is not one of the reasons why we do it. We don't alter or change anything because of laughter. You do the right thing.
So what does Rabbi mean by Sinna?
I mean, they're gonna there's anti-Semitism. There was a Maisha, I think it was in New Jersey. It's definitely took a pass from New Jersey. It's a New Jersey Dick Attack type of thing. That there was a menorah that was vandalized. And there were like maybe on the block, there were maybe two Jewish families. A bunch of Christians. And in solidarity, every single family put a menorah in the window. Isn't that beautiful, Zach? The Christian families were showing solidarity with the Jewish neighbors.
So
and then they also distributed these cardboard pictures of menorahs. But someone got them somewhere, gift stop, and the whole neighborhood had cardboard menorahs all over the place. So the parish can talk about it, that the reason why you light in a public place is to be mefarsim, donate to more people. But when you light the menorah, it gets stolen or vandalized, so you're not being mefarsim, donate to more people. So Mabetza, what are you gaining? You're not forbidding anything. You're not gaining anything. So what's the point? So you don't light in a place where it's going to be anti-Pesach Menorah. You light in a place where it's going to get smashed or broken or stolen. So then that's not contributing to Pesach Menorah. On the other hand, it's not just a Sakana. And if you light it and people know you're lighting it, there's no danger. So that's what that led to lighting inside by the window, because that way everyone knows you're lighting it. There's no danger, so there's no reason to hide it. And also, it's more removed from vandalism, because at least it's in your house. I got that they could still vandalize it, but at least it's in your house. And the Pesach can talk about it, it's legitimate. So in America, most people, that's the Mahalach. It's like a Shirayim of the Shasa Sakana. It's not Mama Shasa Sakana, it's a Shirayim of the Shasa Sakana. And there's Israel, the Chassidim, they light inside, they all light inside. There's many Paiskim for hundreds of years that they lit inside. So. But the Maisa, so that's why there's manim, like we're a little bit, maybe, you know, there's manim. Since the Ikad Hablaka is for the Bnei Abayis, so that's why we say that if you're lighting inside, so then you could light later, but you have it. As long as there's people around, but you have it. And that's if you're lighting inside. You know the halacha. Everyone knows the halacha. So you go out for your Hanukkah parties, you light afterwards. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't light so late. But yeah, you can light with a bracha if your roommate's up, someone's awake. That's based on the halacha, on the assumption that the Ikar Pesach Menorah is for the Bnei Abayis. But in the time of the Gemara, it definitely wasn't like that. So Bnei Yishas are Rabbim. And that means you have to light it when people are around. And after the Talmudim are gone, so there's no one around, you can't light. And the Maral talks about not only lighting, you're not waiting until the last minute, lighting at the first minute. As soon as you're able to light, you should light.
Wait, what's Peshat and Psume Nisa? Like, if someone already knows there's a Nes, so what are you doing by publicizing someone already knows?
Especially with for the Bnei Abayas, every single person in the house knows the Nes.
Right, but what's Peshat? If you already know it, you know it, no?
Yeah. So obviously, Psume Nisa is not to let it be known. What does the word Nisa mean? I mean, let's talk about Nisa. So, Mitzvah, I hope we'll get to this. So the Maharal explains how important it is to light right after Shkiyas Achara. It's important. And it's not just important because the Mitzvah is to light then. All Mitzvahs are important. And there's a time to do them. But there's an added important. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Nisim, Hashem transcended nature. Hashem caused a bittul HaTeva. There was a gilui of Nisim in the world through Neiris. And the Maharal talks about day and night. So day is a period of time, from when the sun rises to the sun sets. And day is also a concept. There's a concept called day. So day is when the world is run in a manner that things are clear as day. Derech HaTeva. Another word for Derech HaTeva is day. Nature and day are synonymous. Because nature, I just had this, I call it a discussion, but it really was more of an argument. A discussion is more, it's a polite way of saying that you had a fight with someone, but you don't want to admit you had a fight with someone. But you had it all worked out. It's just Mishayim, Matan, Torah, Dukh, and Yeshiva, you had it all worked out how nothing had to do with God. Yeah, it all worked out. Can explain everything.
What'd you tell him?
I don't know. What did I tell him? I told him the two Yesodis. The two Yesodis that make our faith into a faith which is not a blind faith. Everything rests on Emunah, but it's not blind faith. It's faith with our eyes open. I told him the two Yesodis. I said, one Yesodis, you can't prove that God exists. You also can't prove he doesn't exist. He said, for someone to come and say, which is what he was saying, listen, I wasn't there, it happened a long time ago. Who says it happened the way it happened? I said, you didn't prove anything by saying that. You have proved nothing. And you call that science. That's ridiculous. You have proved nothing. You weren't there. You didn't see it, so maybe it didn't happen. Okay, maybe it didn't happen. That's not a proof. You can't prove that God didn't do something. You can't prove that you weren't there. You don't know. And to prove things that we didn't see, or even things that we did see, we could be fooled. I'm saying to prove anything beyond a shadow of a doubt, so that's impossible. Because there's always ways of falsely representing something. You could think you saw something. And simply take a look at all the prevalent beliefs in the world. And there's only one faith that has the audacity, or it's the courage, to say that God revealed himself in public. It's about the amount of people that were there. Make a judgment. It could have been, who knows, it could have been over 20 million people. 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. Each one of them had a few wives. Right? They had more than one wife. Between 20 and 60, so you're already up to 2 million. How many kids were in the family? You have 1 million couples, right? Whatever, one husband, three wives, and each wife had how many kids? And then the ones over 60, I said, it's just, you know, it's a lot. And the claim was made thousands of years ago, that's documented. It's documented that the Torah was around. It was at least from the time of the Gemara, at least from the time of King Ptolemy, because he had the Torah translated into Greek. So we're talking about thousands of years ago, the claim was made that there was a revelation of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai in front of 20 million people. And until about 70 years ago, nobody refuted it. Not the Christians, not the Muslims, nobody.
Wait, what changed 70 years ago?
Reform Judaism, the Neologues. It's always the Jews, the rest of you. And the other religions, like Christianity, Yashka went someplace on a mountain, supposedly God spoke to him, and he came back and he told the people what God said. He didn't have the guts to say that God spoke to him publicly because he's supposed to be afraid of a fallout. You can't, you're going on a limb saying that God spoke to you if there was no one around to see it. So he didn't make that claim. And Muhammad also. He had his visions, so he had his visions, and then he told people about his visions. So I said, That's one you said, is that when you make a claim that lasts for thousands of years, that something was done in front of millions of people and it stood the test of time. So you have a choice. Which Mahalakha are you going to follow? Where's the best bet? Go with the ones with the courage. And that's one you said. You know, that is one you said. And then the other side is, Jews are pretty stubborn about giving up the Torah. They don't give it up so easily. And this is also for thousands of years. There's a connection between the Jews and Torah that the Torah is more important than their lives. Where did they get that from? They really believe it's true. Why would somebody believe something that's so true that they're willing to give up his life? So I asked the guy this. He told me because his father told him. I said, okay, and who told his father? His father's father. Who told his father's father? His father's father. I said, so there's an unbroken chain again for almost 3,000 years, from 20 million fathers throughout all ages, telling their son all the same thing with conviction and consistency. And again, till about 70, 80 years ago, no one ever contradicted it. So fathers don't lie to their children. And even if you find the one or two fathers that do, but 20 million fathers don't lie to their 80 million children. So does this prove anything? It proves nothing. It's just it pays to look into it, you know? Yeah, well, maybe God did it, but then he changed his mind. He just left us alone because he got disgusted with us. That's what God doesn't lie. And God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Gam b'chayim min la'olam." They're going to believe in you forever. What's forever? How long is forever?
A long time.
And God said it. Is God a liar? Yeah, well, God didn't really know what it was going to be. Oh, so God could be surprised. He could see the future. He knows. Can't surprise God. He's God. God is God. All right, you know, it sounds very clever. I didn't make a dent in the person.
So, is there a point in going after it? This type of guy?
There's always a point. You can always have the satisfaction of telling people afterwards what you said. Like I said, you have the story. No, like every DJ was telling me that he had a grab bag. And guys had the bid for Mishnayos, and then they got to turn into grab bag. And some of the prices were quite imaginative. One was a pair of socks. I think one was you get the schuster to come to say that on time, 9:30. You want the schools to do that? The marriage was fine. And he said the guy that got the socks was so happy. He got a pair of socks. Why is he so happy? There was another just a meal in the restaurant that was the Zainza. And she don't understand. He has the hana of saying that he bid 120 mishnayos for a pair of socks. He's enjoying that. He could say it over. He could, it's like the reform. My father has this story, which could or could not have happened, about the reform rabbi that he snuck out Saturday morning, or maybe Yom Kippur. I think my father said it was on Yom Kippur. He snuck out on Yom Kippur. He wanted to have like 9 holes of golf before Yom Kippur davening. Nine holes or 18 holes. Yom Kippur davening. It could be it's an reform temple. It could be it started at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, so he got up, like, he goes out there, and in Shemayim there's a big tumult. Like he's a rabbi and he's coming out of Yom Kippur to play golf. Lord, strike him down, and the Lord just says, "Just wait, just wait." And he tees off. It goes straight towards the green. It rolls towards the cup. It goes in. You're a hole in one. And all this, Lord, how could these trees trotting on your holy day? He's desecrating the very premises of your religion. He's taking your name and he's selling it. How could you? How could you reward him with a hole in one? And the Lord said, who's he going to tell? So a large part of our life, we enjoy going through life just because we'll be able to tell the story. We're not even living in the moment. Let's get back to Nisim. So that's Yayim, okay? Yayim? That's Yayim. So Yayim is rationalizing everything. Yayim is being able to take things apart and figure out how they work. And you understand, and you can rely on it. You know, when you can take something apart, you can figure out how it works, and you understand it. It's exposed. It's exposed and you can see it. And then you can rely on it. There's no surprises. Lila also. Lila means from sunset until sunrise. It's a tense period of time. But Lila also is a concept. Lila is a concept that the lights are shut out and we understand nothing. Lila has no rules. There's no rules whatsoever. Nothing goes as expected, and nothing is understood. It's a mystery. Miracles is Lila. Because no one knows how a miracle works. We've never been successful in dissecting a miracle and determining what makes it work. What makes a miracle work? It's impossible. It can't be done. And that's why miracles happen at night. Chakas Becheiris was at night. Going out of Mitzrayim was during the day. They happened at two different time periods. Why didn't they go out at night also? Why wasn't Chakas Becheiris during the day? It would be more dramatic. During the day, bring the Karban Pesach. The Mitzrayim try and stop them. All the firstborn drop dead, and they go out. Did you ever think of it? I'm just saying, you know. And we're so used to things happening at night, I don't think we even asked the question. It'd be awesome. Everyone's, guy's running after a Jew trying to stop him, and it just croaks. And Jew sees the guy running after him, he says, where are you in the family? Oldest child, middle child, younger child? I'm the oldest. See you. See you later. But they were separated. Makas Becheiris was Chatzais. It was Chatzi Alayla. It was the middle of the night. The darkest depths of the night. The nether depths of the night. And they went out after Chatzais during the day. They went out sometime after Chatzais during the day. Because going out, more or less, I'm saying, going out was B'derech HaTeva. They walked out. mean, the events surrounding their exodus were miraculous. When they walked out, they just walked out. They walked out. They didn't fly out.
That would be cool.
And then they didn't get on their carpets and fly out.
All the Makkos were at night?
When did they start?
That's for a week, though.
When did they start? Chayrinat.
It's on the first, it's not Masha.
Chayrinat.
That's why I bring the powers people
yeah,
can cash and do it, except for...
The Maral talks to Meyuchad about Makkos Becheiros. Because all the other Makkos were all Akdama for Makkos Becheiros. Bechadami.
Problems you were able to duplicate also.
But you did
that.
What?
Problems you were able to duplicate. The latter ones you weren't able to.
Some of them. There's a Makkos Kaishik. It was during the daytime. That wasn't at night time. So it started during the day. Okay? Makkos Chayshah started in the day. No, but you have a good point. I'm just... Morales focusing on Makkos Becheiros because Makkos Becheiros was... That was the ultimate miracle. That was... Everything was leading up to that miracle. That was the Gemara. That's the Makkos Becheiros. Also, like, Makkos Becheiros... It was a nes b'tayt nes. It wasn't just the supernatural. It was being mavkin. It's like a malachas bayir. It's being mavkin. Who's going to die? Who's not going to die? The Gemara in Bar Mitzvah talks about how the wives in the Mitzvah and they're mizana. So no one really knew who the oldest was. They could have had 10 oldest. The Makkos Becheiros, the Pella, the Nes, was that you had a woman that she had a bunch of children, and they all died, and she understood more than anyone else the depth of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's din, because she knew that each one of them was a Bechar. But a father. Because she was Mizana with 10 men.
No, I'm saying Ishmael was Avram's Bechor, and then Avram and Yitzchak.
Well, he wasn't a real Bechor. Did it say in the Torah that he got the double portion?
No,
Ishmael wasn't a real Bechor. It goes after the father. Ishmael was deposed. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikara l'chazara." Yishmael was deposed. There's a gzeirus kasam on Yishmael. Other Bechorim, yeah, Yishmael not. Yishmael not, he was demoted. Fired.
Disqualified.
Terminated. Pink slipped. So the Yetzim Yitzir is they walked out of Mitzrayim. The Makkos Becheiros was Kula Nes, it's beyond understanding how only Becheiros died. No one else died. There's no such thing as a selective disease. My female guppies all died and the males didn't. As I said, there was a disease that went rampant through my fish tank. Only the females died. The males all survived. Females died. But there's no such thing as a selective disease that it attacks the oldest. There's nothing about an oldest that he's more susceptible to disease, to pestilence, to death. That's night. You can't understand it. And it happened at night. And the Nisim happened at night. So many Nisim happened at night. But we say in the Pismon, and a lot of Nisim happened at night. That's the night is the time. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu did the miracle in the time of Chashmai and Ayim with lights, with the menorah. So there was a gili of Chanukah of night. In Chanukah there was a gili of something that no one could understand. It was revealed. There was something revealed to the world that was night. People couldn't understand. So see, that's why you light by Shkiyas HaChama. So if you don't light by Shkiyas HaChama, then you don't appreciate. Then you're not appreciating what a nes is. We're supposed to appreciate that there's things in this world that we don't understand, that are beyond our understanding. That's the purpose. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us that there's things beyond our understanding, and that this world is not all there is. We're connected to a world that there's no understanding. So Maral's Mamshich, that's why it was the eighth day. It lasted for 8 days because the number eight has a kesher to the Malam Midrach HaTeva. Because everything in this world is sevens. This world was created with 7 days. And everything in this world is Shaykh to Sheva. Kiyadua. Time is divided into seven. Directions are divided into seven. Musical notes are divided into seven. Colors are divided into seven. Everything in this world is divided into seven. So the number eight is another dimension. So the menorah lasted for 8 days because Hashem is showing us that there's another dimension. Totally different dimension. Like that's Chazar Ashtar. You know, the Ramesha taught us that Sheva, the number Sheva, shares a common root with the word saveya, v'chalta v'savata v'rata. So saveya means to be satisfied. Being satisfied means whatever you need you have. Just enough. It's like you eat, you measure the amount of nutrition you need until the next meal. You measure your portion. I have a friend, he's on a diet. He eats with a scale. He has a scale, a food scale. He puts his lettuce on top of it. I'm not joking. Puts his lettuce on top of it, weighs the lettuce, puts it on his plate. He takes the, some kind of vegetable concoction, puts it on there, puts it on his plate. It's not very appetizing. I sat with him. He was doing this. I said, can't you just approximate? Don't you know by now what... Well, he likes to get it right. And then you eat it, and you have just enough. No more. Now, of course, it's all you could eat sushi or something like that. Since you keep eating and eating and eating, you eat more than you need. You keep going and going and going, you're going beyond. Until your belly starts extending. And going beyond its limits. And you're way beyond what you need. And you just, it's a totally different dimension. The number for seven, the seven dimensions, is Sheva, which is related to Seveya. This world has just what it needs. It doesn't go beyond what it is. It's limited. Everything is limited. At a certain point, it stops. Yes, you can go all the way to the end of outer space. It's going to stop. It does stop somewhere. If you don't believe me, just go up in a spaceship for a few million years and check it out. At some point, you're going to come to that. The number eight is Shemayna. The root of the word Shemayna is Shemayn. Shemayn's fat. Fat is you extend beyond yourself. Going beyond your limits. You're going to a place which isn't your makam. You're taking up more space. You're going beyond. Because that's what the number Shemayna represents. Shemayna is breaking out. Breaking out of the limits. Laila is a time for miracles. So you should light at the beginning of the night. Laila is miyuchad davishu achara teva. It's miyuchad for things that are not bound by nature, things that break out of nature. And he brings la'ivri sihara el gersa to Gemaran Erevin. The night was created. The only thing that the night was created for was for learning. Lai ivri sihara el gersa.
Where in Erevin?
It says here, Erevin Samachem. What's the only reason why night was created? It's not one of the reasons why night was created. What's the only reason why night was created? For learning. Why? Because the Torah is not natural. There's nothing natural about the Torah. And there's nothing about the Torah that can be understood from a vantage point of this world, from a rational point, from a scientific point, from any point. Torah cannot be understood with the perspective of this world. It's beyond us. And the night was created for learning, because nighttime is a time when we don't see anything. Nighttime is a time we don't understand something, so it's a time when we should be learning Torah. This is... just on the most basic level. And it's a little bit foreign to you. But in the times of four electric lights, at nighttime everything stopped. It had to stop. There was nothing, you couldn't do anything at night. You know why? It was dark. You couldn't see anything. So you had to stop. You didn't do anything. People got up at sunrise and they worked the whole day. And then the day ended by sunset, and the stars came out. You know, as the sun set, and it got darker and darker, they had to finish up everything before it got too dark. What happens at night is the Eilam Hazeh disappears. Totally disappears. Just goes. It's hard to come to terms with this. Because our night is so much different. But when we're talking about creation, like every sira, when Hashem created night, why did Hashem create night? Hashem created night because in order for this world to survive, in order for this world to reach where it has to go, there has to be a time when it shuts off, when it disappears. Elam Haz is so powerful, it's so overpowering, that it just has to have an off button. When you can't see it anymore. Only then can a person believe that there's something beyond this world. If it would be daytime, 24 hours, so then we wouldn't believe there's anything besides. That means it would be a constant. We'd be constantly bombarded with Elam Hazeh. We would never see Elam Hazeh disappear. It would be there, a permanent fixture in our life, and we wouldn't have room in our life for anything else, because it's all we'd ever see. But it disappears. Hashem turns off the lights to show us that it's gone. And during that time, we're capable of making contact with the higher existence. My wife's great uncle, Shagapava Mendelowitz, said that the skyscrapers block out the Niflaisa Bairi. It used to be that you woke up in the morning, you saw a man, you saw God made creation, the mountains, the fields, the beautiful pale blue sky. The clouds floating across them majestically, corn waving in the breeze, and it's all God made. and you're in God's world. And man created man-made structures to block everything out. The skyscrapers, they forestalled their bison, they blocked their bison. And nighttime comes, the idol has it disappears. It disappears. So then we could, okay, now we don't see Adam has anymore. We don't see anything. So there's something else out there. That's a time when you could learn. And when you learn, you could learn something which has nothing to do with this world, because this world went to sleep. It's taking a break. It's gone bye-bye. Like, that's why Hashem created night, because Adam has it needs to turn off. We need a break from Eilam Haza. It's not just a time to sleep. We need a break from Eilam Haza. We have to enter into Eilam Haba. We have to enter into Shemayim. We have to go up on Haisina, whatever you want to say, go up on Haisina and be Mekabel the Torah. We have to go into our souls, into our pneumias. We have to link with the Kaddish Baruch. We have to be Davik by Kaddish Baruch. All of the above. And when nighttime comes, it's okay, Eilam Haza, take a break. No more Eilam Haza. What do you see? Nothing. I can't see my hand in front of my face. Okay, now follow me. Come with me. Join with me. Learn Torah. That's what the purpose of night is. Night was created for us to connect. You ever heard of, you know, is anybody here scared of the dark? Or was scared of the dark?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where does that come from?
Scared about now.
Why are you scared of the dark? Why are you scared of the dark?
Because you can't see.
Because you can't see. My Rebbe said because when it's light outside, so you can reassure yourself. You see everything. You also see yourself. Every once in a while, you pinch yourself to make sure you're there. You look in the mirror. He said, fear of the dark is a fear of self-extinction. You can't see your own existence. Now remember, this is the time before this electric lighting. The night goes off, you can't see anything. You can't even see yourself. So that means if you can't see yourself, you're getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You can't verify your own existence. You can't do anything. You can't accomplish anything. You can't even see yourself. Can you imagine the terror of the people during Machlis Kaishach? I mean, they're working on this. This is a form of torture. It should never happen to anybody at this table or anybody else that we care about. But the Russians experimented with sensory deprivation. They put a person in a room without any sound, without any light. Without any, the senses, they're deprived, they reach out, the ear reaches out for sound, the ear doesn't hear any sound, the eye doesn't see anything, and a person can and did. There are people, they experimented, they did not experiment on mice, they were rats, they experimented on people. They found that at a certain point, a person that's deprived of the data or the stimulus to his senses will go out of his mind. He did some really weird stuff, like they put a person in a suit and he was floating in water, and they numbed part of his body so he wouldn't feel anything. Really weird stuff. I mean, those Russians, they mean business.
How's it better than me?
You're not a Russian, you're a Yid. So why is that? Because a person has a fear of non-existence. And when you don't sense your own existence, so then that's the biggest fear, is that you're disappearing, you're becoming a nowhere man in a nowhere land. It's just totally, totally disappearing. When night comes, when night descends, that fear descends on all mankind. Some people are more in touch with it than others. Some people are more willing to admit it than others. You know, the guy that he was scared because he had monsters under his bed. with his doctors. You go to see that. And none of the doctors could help him. They tried to convince him. There's no monsters on it. They showed him. They brought him to his bed. They had him look under the bed. And they said, there's nothing there. They put a broomstick under it. There was no monsters. Nothing. He wouldn't believe them. There's monsters under his bed. He's convinced there's monsters under his bed. Finally, someone said, I could cure him. It won't even cost you as much as these experts. She had a talk with him, cured him, no more problem. They said, how did you convince him there's no monsters in his bed? He said, I didn't. I just chopped off the legs to his bed. Now there's no more room for the monsters to go into there. Low-tech solution. We have fears. So when we have this fear, and everybody has this fear at some level, so there's two ways you can go, okay? You feel yourself getting smaller and disappearing, and you can't see anything. You can't see yourself. You can't take pride in your accomplishments because you can't accomplish anything at night. I mean, that's, you know, you can't take up space. And everything you're familiar with, everything you can understand, everything you can understand disappeared. So you can go into it. You can become a bigger person. And you can reach out for something beyond this. This world's on vacation. It's on snooze. I can't see this world. God is blocking it out. He wants me to go beyond this world. He wants me to be bigger. He wants me to enter a world. God wants me to enter a world that I don't have to see in order to be there. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, you know, that's what God wants. I don't need to be able to see to go into this next world. I just have to open up a Gemara. I just have to learn. I don't have to see this world. I don't have to interact with this world. I just have to study the wisdom that came to us from beyond this world and connect. And then I'll be something, and I'll be bigger, and the fear will go away. That's of a person smart. It's a reino to our great pain. That's not the way the vast majority of the world reacts. They're so afraid of the dark, they're so afraid of being irrelevant, they're so afraid of disappearing, that they drive away the darkness, and they turn the darkness into light. And it's an entire culture. The culture of the world is to kill the night. We've become a culture, it's a universal culture, to assassinate the night. That there shouldn't be any night. And people are more active at night than during the day, because during the day, there's no desperation. It's during the day, chill, I'm accomplishing, I'm here, I'm assured, everything is fine till in the light of day, but at night, there's a desperation. And this is something which, a culture that we're very, very closely, we're strongly aware of, let's say that. We're very strongly aware of that nightlife, they call it nightlife. They're people that live at night. They go to sleep during the day. And they're not vampires. Why is that? Because during the day they don't feel the desperation to do things. Because the world's not going to be okay with me or without me. I could see things. I could understand things. Things make sense. But at nighttime, if someone doesn't learn Torah, if they're not connected to something higher, that means they're connected to this world. And this world has disappeared. So you panic. You know, if the only existence that you know disappears, you panic. And the strong lights that, you know, this place is, never been a gift to Zichron Levrach, used to tell us when he would walk down Collins Avenue, which I'm sure Josh knows where it is, he said that he did big casinos and hotels and old age homes.
Not on Collins
Avenue. Well, he saw hotels.
Yeah.
Hotels, he said it was lit up brighter than daylight. And he was walking with somebody. What are you doing there? He said, they're playing cards. And he said, they don't know whether it's day or night. You know, it's in a casino. They dafka make it like that. They have no idea. They have no sense of time. The lighting is so bright.
There's no clocks or windows.
It's the middle of the day. And there's day, there's night. There's no difference. He says, what do they do when they're finished? He said, they go to sleep, and the next night they do the same thing. Every night they do this. They're killing the night. the knights with the most potential are the ones who destroy the most. What's the knight? Of all the knights of the week, the knights with the most potential is like Matzah Shabbos. I'm talking about the weekday knights. Matzah Shabbos, we kill the most. Saturday night. We kill it the most. Like, what is it? So what is it guilty? That you have to kill it. Because the night, it's the time with the most potential to connect to the spiritual. It's an interesting perspective. God created night because the way to connect to Him, the way to connect to spirituality, the way to connect to Shemayim, is when this world disappears. And every day, God makes the world disappear for one reason. He wants us to take our mind off this world so it disappears. And then our mind is free to connect to Him. And He does this every single night. When the sun sets, it's God calling to us. Okay, Olam Hazeh, over. Take a break. Vacation. Now come to me. If we use the nighttime for what it was created for, so we become very big people. We grow outside of ourselves and we get very fat. Shmeina. We get very, very fat. The Ikar Hatzlacha and Yeshiva, this is like the Ikar Hatzlacha and Yeshiva. So I'm not telling you not to learn during the day, Chas V'Shalom. But the Ikar Hatzlacha and Yeshiva is nighttime. In Yeshiva, again, I'm not telling you not to learn during the daytime. There's no heter not to learn during the daytime. But the ones that make it are the ones that they just keep going until you can't go anymore. The ones that are in the base measures, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Sometimes sex, some people don't go to sleep at all. It's not just learning more hours. It's learning at night. It's not just learning more hours. It's learning at night. It's learning when Olam Hazeh disappears. It's learning when you can't see the world. It's learning when you can't understand. It's learning at a time when you have access. You have access to Torah, which is Neshamayim, that you can't understand in earthly terms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up your mind and you can understand things that only Malachim understand. There's always the Steigers were the ones that, they pushed themselves. Night was a Chashavazak. Night was a Chashavazak. If somebody has things that they want to do, do it during the day. Not at night. Do it during the day, not at night. Nighttime is precious. Don't lose a single night. Yeah, so that's why we're all so makbid that you should light the neiros. Dafka, as soon as it's night. As soon as it's night. As soon as the light switch goes off. Hashem turned up the light and says, come, my children. Let's leave this Olam Hazeh. Let's leave it. Come, take a walk with God. Let's turn off the lights in Olam Hazeh, and when God takes us by the hand, and He walks with us into heaven, He said, that's when you should light. Instead of saying, no, I'll light later, I could light 2 hours later. You understand? It makes more, the halacha makes sense, that you shouldn't wait. As soon as the night comes, that's God beckoning us to leave this world and to go into a world of miracles. So that's when you light. Move on. That's it. Thank you.